Friday, you're hungry, and you want to know where to eat this weekend, and we are here to tell you on Central Standard Friday. I'm Charles Ferruza with The Pitch and The Pitch's Fat City blog, which you can go to by going to pitch.com. And I am joined by three of the loveliest, most talented restaurant writers in Kansas City, and I'll let them introduce themselves starting right there.
I'm Emily Ferris with FeedMeKC.com and the Feed Me KC podcast.
I'm Mary Block with Around the Block at AroundTheBlockKC.com.
That's a lot of blocks there, baby.
I know. It's true. And I also write the restaurant guide for the Kansas City Star.
Very good.
And I'm Chris Basica, and I write for Ingram's Magazine.
And you look very festive and holiday-ish
today.
Yes,
she does.
Thank you. At the break, I'm going to put on, for all of our listeners, I'm going to put on my sparkling Christmas necklace that actually lights up.
All right. If only they could hear it.
Yes.
Maybe it'll bang the mic a few times.
Yeah.
In the second half of the Central Standard Friday show today, we're going to be talking about something that comes up quite often from our listeners. The subject being noisy restaurants. And, of course, the flip side of that is nobody really wants to eat in a restaurant that's as quiet as a tomb.
Mm-hmm.
That's also sort of off-putting. But some restaurants are simply just too noisy. And a friend of mine said, well, you know, that's the new trend because it implies that there's a festive, high-energy quality to the restaurant. Sometimes that high energy is too impossible to have a conversation, but so some restaurants are more noisy than others. If a restaurant is as noisy as a high school cafeteria, that's it for me. But we will be taking your calls at the second half of the show at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. But you could also call us during the first half of the show to talk about new places where you have been and places you like or dislike at that same number, 816-235-2888. Or you can send us an email right now at centralstandard@kcur.org.
Or you can send us a tweet at KCURCST.
And that was the voice of our little tweeter expert, Emily Ferris. So why don't we start the show by talking about where you have been that's new and exciting and or not. Why don't we start with you, Christine? Where have you been?
Or not. Yeah. I'll be the segue for the noise, but I'm not going to talk about that so much. I finally did get to Port Fonda, mostly because Mary, I think, likes it the best of almost any place in KC in terms of Mexican restaurants.
Why don't you tell us where Port Fonda
is? It
is
at 4141 Westport Road. And we went on a Saturday night, and we went with some friends who...
Now, that's a noisy restaurant, too.
Oh, my God. We'll talk later. But anyway, I thought the food was very good. The drinks were good. We'd wanted to talk to our friends, which did prove to be impossible.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's very trendy and fun and lots of different people there, so it was entertaining from that standpoint. I had the sopa, which, you know, the soup, which is sort of my standby for Mexican places that I'm not willing to venture out too far.
And what kind of sopa was it?
It was a pork belly, and it was fabulous. I mean, it was really good. And you know, the rest of the group, one person had the shrimp, which was okay, and we did have the carnitas tacos, and those were good.
Did you have to wait for a table, Chris?
We didn't very long because we did make a reservation.
Okay.
So that was a good thing. The other place I thought I went back to the Jacobson, but just had drinks. The rest of the party was eating. I'm on this horrendous diet. It's just killing me. But anyway, and I think the Jacobson is a great place to meet because you can actually hear one another. We were at a very long table, and you didn't have to scream. And so it was a good place, lots of different appetizers, a really good hamburger, which I didn't have that day.
And what is the address of the Jacobson for our listeners?
2050 Central.
Great.
And then I was at the Opera House for lunch where I got stood up. But nonetheless, it's at 500 Walnut. Also tried to go to Rye this week, and heck, it wasn't open. It's been a good week. But anyway, at the Opera House, which is at 500 Walnut, the thing I wanted to mention particularly is that Chelsea Williams is now baking there.
She was at Chazelle.
Yes, and at the Prospect originally. And... Oh, my gosh. because I wasn't having lunch, I thought, okay, cookies and a granola bar. And she makes they have a what they're calling a signature cookie, and it's called the Wicked Girl Scout, which
that describes you.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. It was the best mint chocolate cookie, and about the size of my thigh. I mean, it was huge. And it was terrific. And then she gave me a cookie called Sweet Dreams, or Dreams, right? Either one of the.
Well, let me interrupt you a minute to ask you, because I'm kind of confused. The Opera House, of course, is the old Gillis Opera House building, which was never an opera house, but it was on the grounds of the old Opera House.
Right.
Wasn't that briefly a food court of some kind?
Well, it's sort of, kind of, maybe is.
Okay.
The bakery is in one section. The restaurant, you order at the counter, and I like the food very, very much. And the bar, which is going to be actually completely open, they can now serve liquor and beer, but the bar it's just waiting for its countertop. The bar will actually be open in a couple of weeks. But the cool thing to me about the Opera House is you can get your food or drink or whatever it is you're doing. They do a big coffee business in the morning, big breakfast business. You can get that in the morning and then sit wherever you want. And so, that's a very high ceiling place.
Right.
But they've got enough baffling to kind of keep it manageable. And I particularly like the idea that when you walk into the place, you're not walking straight into the bar, which can look overcrowded, but you're walking into sort of this nice open area. So it is kind of this combo place. Plus, you can buy whatever it is there that he's collected, which is just a kick.
Give me an example of something.
Oh, my God. I bought the most wonderful porcelain Santa Claus cookie jar holding a fat lady saying, "Give me more chocolate." And it was just, it's the funniest thing. And I was going to give it away, but I find that I can't. And so it's now sitting in my kitchen. But everything from, the owner is a collector, and he will sell.
Now, is there one food vendor or who's
they are cooking? They are cooking themselves. And okay. I've forgotten the name of the guy who's cooking, okay. I'm afraid. But they're cooking themselves. And then the bakery is kind of this little separate area.
And the address again is?
500 Central. Okay. 500 Walnut. Excuse
but
me.
The question, the real question is she making the Prospects carrot cake?
Well, it wasn't there. And, when I forgot to ask her. And then when I left, I thought, I wonder if I could call her and say, make me one.
Well, uh-huh. She's listening to the show. I just know it. So maybe she's listening.
I hope so. But
she'd have a lot of customers ordering that if she did it.
And that Dream Cookie was one that – or Sweet Dreams Cookie was one that she used to serve at the Prospect as well.
Okay.
So and the cookies are they are really, really, really good, and they aren't very expensive.
Good. All right. If you've just tuned in, this is Central Standard Friday. This is the Restaurant Critics Show. That was Christine Basica from Ingram's Magazine. And now let's go to Mary Block from Around the Block.
Okay. I was at the new Cooper's Hawk Winery and Restaurant last night, as was Emily, I guess. We didn't see each other, but we were both there.
Now, that is in the old 810 zone space.
It is.
And there was a Mexican restaurant there before that.
Canyon Cafe was, I think, the first.
Oh, yeah.
And it's at 4686 Broadway. And I was delighted to walk in and see no remnants of the 810 zone. It had been completely redone. And I was also surprised that you walk into a store. They sell the wines that Cooper's Hawk Winery makes. They've got all sorts of gifts and accessories
for wine.
Now,
did you tell me that this winery, because it's a chain, I guess.
It is.
It's based out of Illinois?
Yes. And there are 10 in the chain. And I spoke to the wine director on the phone last week about their wine program. And they make all their wines in Illinois, but their grapes are all sourced from the West Coast, be it California or Washington or Oregon. Mm. And they've got a dozen wines, I think. And they were really quite good. And it's sort of fun because when you order a bottle at the table, they bring you this decanter that sits on the table, and you pour the wine through it, and then you put your glass at the bottom, and it has a little tap that goes on and off that you can fill your glass. And they do it for all the red wines. So, I mean, the place is a little formulaic, but it seems to work. And I was really pleasantly surprised how good the food was. It's a rather large menu.
It's a very large menu.
I didn't have high hopes, but
what's the price point?
Really good. Reasonably priced. I think Emily has the menu there. I had a grilled salmon with wasabi mashed potatoes and Asian slaw, and that was, I think, 22. And we started with tuna tacos and had chicken lettuce wraps. Somebody else had pasta. You can get burgers, salads, sandwiches. It really runs the gamut.
So I can tell just by looking through the window at our producer, Matthew Long Middleton, that the price point isn't too outrageous.
No, and
because he usually rolls his eyes.
You can go any way you want. You can have a salad or you can have a steak.
Yeah, and the appetizers are all shareable, and they're $10, $11, $12.
What, did you have
an appetizer? In fact, they're large.
They are. I had two appetizers. I had the pork belly nachos.
I was really tempted by that.
Which came out. They were five large round tortilla chips with pork belly on them and other accoutrements, and they were really good. And then we had the stuffed mushrooms, and they were al pastor stuffed mushrooms. So they had the essence of taco.
Sounds delicious.
It was really good. And Mary said, you know, you said you were surprised to walk in and see this store. Well, I was delighted to walk in, and I got handed a glass of bubbly.
Yep.
I bet they don't do that for everybody.
No, they did, and
last night was their fourth night they were open. Okay. And so they're definitely being very welcoming to the community, and walked in, would you like a glass of wine? And it was their Beurre Blanc, and it was great. Everyone was really friendly. The store did surprise me a bit. Not necessarily my style of store, but I feel like.
So it was like a gift shop?
Yeah. And large. I mean, it is a commercial venture. You walk in and it's a little off-putting, but then you get past it because everybody is so warm and friendly and helpful and informative. I had a bunch of questions, and they could answer all of them.
And the dining room is upstairs, and they asked, do you want to take the stairs or the elevator? And I feel like that's kind of rare to get offered that. It was just very friendly.
You can
friendly
tell what I would pick. Elevator.
I took the stairs because I knew what I would be eating.
But it's very large, but it's well divided, so you don't feel like it's too loud.
And Mary, where else have you been?
I've also been to brunch at Webster House. I've been to Webster House many a time at 1644 Wyandotte, but I had not been to brunch before, and it was excellent. We had shrimp and grits. Several people were tempted and ordered the brioche French toast. Humongous portion, a little sweet for me, but they demolished it. Really good. And then I went back a couple days later, by coincidence, and had one of the best Reubens I've ever had.
Great.
And I'd love to do a little taste test. I love Europas and Julien's, and now this one, and I'd like to have all three at the same time and decide which was the best.
I plan to have my heart attack, I will join you that day.
The corned beef was really thick, and I even needed a knife to slice it. It was fabulous.
That's great.
So,
all right. The places we have been talking about so far, if you're taking notes, Port Fonda, 4141 Westport Road, the Jacobson at 2050 Central, the Opera House at 500 Walnut, Cooper's Hawk on the Plaza at 4686 Broadway. And Mary just talked about the Webster House. And is that 1624 Wyandotte?
1644.
And we are also taking notes. This will be up on kcur.org later this morning.
Terrific. Thank you, Emily. And Emily, you've been to Cooper's Hawk. You liked it?
I did. And you know, it was their fourth night. I think the food was really good. It was probably the best place I've ever been on their fourth night. Mm-hmm. And they had a lot of staff from corporate there training everybody. It was a little overwhelming. There was a lot of staff. But I had the short rib risotto, and the food was really great. And again, the service was great. And I think this is going to be a good place to take – if you have a group who can't decide what they want to eat, mm-hmm. there's options for everyone.
And I want to remind you that in the second half of the show, we are going to be talking about the noise level at certain restaurants and what restaurants you don't go to anymore or the restaurants you do like to go to. But where else have you been? By the way, did you find Cooper's Hawk to be noisy, Emily?
I didn't. There were a lot of people in there, but the way we were at a booth and the way the booths were set up, it was great because, you know, we could hear each other just fine. And there were people around us, and I wasn't hearing other people's conversations. There's definitely something with architecture and design that restaurants are figuring out.
Or not figuring out.
Which
we will
out.
Be talking
yes.
about.
Yeah. Did you try dessert?
We did. We got the banoffee pie, which
is that
apparently
a banana pie?
Banana coffee.
Toffee.
And I'm not really a sweets person, so I only had a bite or two, but it was really good.
We had a cookie, a warm cookie that had peanut butter Reese's melted in it, and it was served in a skillet with ice cream on top.
Oh, my. Oh,
I wish I would have gotten that.
Pretty good.
We are taking your phone calls at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You are free and encouraged to join the conversation, or you can send us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org or
at KCURCST on Twitter.
And where else have you been, Emily?
I went to a fair.
It's I've heard every incarnation, but I think they're kind of sticking with a fair now because
that's
it sounds
how
so
we
sexy.
Pronounced it.
Yes.
So this is contemporary German cuisine at 1911 Main Street. They've been open about a year-ish now.
Yeah, I think about a year. Yeah.
And it's a really big space. It was formerly Natasha's.
Bar Natasha.
It's a really big space. White tablecloths, which I didn't mind. The decor is kind of modern and contemporary with the, you know, these elegant touches. Really big space. What I liked when we sat down, the first thing after the waiter greeted us, he asked if anyone had any food allergies, which I think is really great in a restaurant. In Kansas City, people are starting to pay attention to that, and they have a special gluten-free menu. Even though I have a wheat intolerance, I ate their delicious warm pretzel bread twice.
It's good, too.
Because it was worth it. And I won't go through everything because they haven't been open for a short time, but the food was really good. And the plates
really
were really beautiful. I didn't leave quite full enough. Usually I go a place, if the portions are too big, I feel like, oh, it's too big. I didn't need this much food. And I was really hungry when I went in. I think it's someplace I'd go for happy hour or drinks and small plates with friends.
It's a small plate menu.
It is. And my tummy was in a big plate kind of mood.
Did you walk around the corner to Town Topic?
I should have.
And that's a fair at 1911 Main Street. It's a German restaurant that's not – it's more, I think, continental than German, I would say.
Yeah, and I like that their menu is divided by under the water, from the barn, from the sky. So
from the garden.
Garden, so vegetables, fish.
Yeah, very talented chef, Martin User, and he for years was the executive chef at the Westin Crown Center, and this is his baby, and – he's very proud of it, and it's a nice restaurant. So, where else have we?
Have you been?
Well, I have been to several places. I do want to say that on the subject of waiters greeting you when you first sit down, I was at Anton's this week, which is at 1610 Main Street, and the waiter came to the table and said, "Ready for a shot of tequila?" No, but that in all the years I had worked in restaurants, it never would have occurred to me to go up to a table and say that. But it is also sort of a noisy place, but not really aggressively so. It's there's a fun vibe in there.
And if you don't want to be in the noise, you can eat on the butcher shop side.
But
they do have tables.
Yeah, but there's something Siberia-esque about that.
I agree. We were there because there were no other seats in the bar. But it is quiet.
It's much more quiet. We are taking your phone calls at 816-235-2888. I've also been to Vivalore, which is the new – and forgive me, I don't have the address. It's on Winter Road in the historic Englewood neighborhood of Independence in a very famous building, at least for Independence. It's where there was a famous antique store in the 60s and 70s called Sermon Anderson. And a brother and sister have purchased it, and they've turned it in. It's sort of like Webster House in that it's a antique store, gift shop, and restaurant that serves lunch and dinner. Very attractive. The food is very good. The chef is Hope Dillon. Do you remember Hope Dillon? She used to be she ran a place on Broadway. I'm trying to remember the name of it. She ran it with Poco Gutierrez. Right.
Grill on Broadway.
That was the previous incarnation, the Grill on Broadway. When they had it together, it was called something else. But I think it was called Poco's Latin American Grill, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah. But the food's good. There are some Mexican-influenced dishes on the menu. And delicious desserts. A little bit fussy, as places like that tend to be.
Was it pricey?
No, not terribly. And, and very congenial. And, I was with a couple lady friends of mine, and, of course, they like any kind of place where you could shop and eat at the same time. Which apparently, according to Cooper's Hawk, seems to be the new trend. You shop and eat.
We'll have the address for you for Vivalore. It's 10815 East Winter Road.
That's great. And thank you. And it's directly across the street from the fabulous Englewood Cafe, which is one of the very few restaurants left in the area that still makes its own homemade pies every day. And they are delicious. Where else have we been that's worth mentioning as we sort of race to the half-hour mark?
Well, if you want some Cabo recommendations, I can give you those.
I wondered why you were so tan.
Yeah, well, that would probably be makeup. But
And I've been waiting anxiously for the Oddly Correct Cafe to open at 39th Street in Maine.
Are they going to have a food component there, Emily? And it's going to be a coffee house.
You know, last time I talked to Gregory Colstow, the owner, which was more than a month ago, he said he really wanted to find someone who was local, who was baking locally, who was really passionate about what they're doing. So I think, I don't know if he's found that person in the last month. If not, you should, if you are that person, you should go visit Gregory at Oddly Correct at 38-something Main Street. I think that he would like to have some baked goods, some coffee shop type foods.
Don't you think people expect that now when they go to a coffee shop? Mm-hmm. Some coffee house, some kind of something to eat.
Yes.
To dunk in your coffee.
Right. Though sometimes I appreciate if it's not there, because in the morning I don't necessarily need an almond croissant with my coffee. If it's not there, I can resist it. If it is there, I have a harder time.
Well, you can go down to the Opera House and have her granola bar, which was wonderful.
Her being Chelsea Williams
granola bar, which I then ate for lunch and ate part of it. And it was a fabulous granola bar.
I bet it wasn't so healthy.
Probably because it was so fabulous, it was not. But I ignored that part of it and just thought I was eating healthy. So leave me with that.
Granola is tricky like that. Yeah. It sounds healthy, but it's about 1,000 calories a bite.
Yeah, do not say that.
So we've had some people emailing us at centralstandard@kcr.org. Joe says, forgive me, I got this wrong. Port Fonda is not at 4141 Westport Road. It's at 4141 Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And I should have known that.
Oh, and I do know that. Sorry.
I know that too. Mm-hmm.
And this is a toughie. We'll try to quickly answer this. Anne called to ask, where can I go around Westport or South for Christmas dinner that isn't too expensive? That's an interesting...
On Christmas Day.
I think the New Peking in Westport, the New Peking Chinese restaurant... And I'm not – someone's going to have to confirm this, but usually they're open on Christmas Day.
And I've had a very nice Christmas Day meal at M&S Grill.
Oh, I have too.
Yeah,
I have
two. Was thinking McCormick and Schmick would probably be open.
There's not a lot of Plaza restaurants open on Christmas Day, but McCormick and Schmick's and M&S Grill definitely are, or one or the other.
And I know Jack Stack is open on Christmas Eve.
Right. And what are some of the other standbys for – well, I hate to say this, but even the Town Topic is closed on Christmas Day. I think it's time for a break. So we're going to come back. We're going to talk about the noise level in certain restaurants. Everyone seems to have an opinion on that. So we will see you at the break. And you are back with us on Central Standard Friday. I'm Charles Ferruza with The Pitch, here with Emily Ferris from FeedMeKC.com, Mary Block from Around the Block and Around the Star and Around the World, and Christine Basica from Ingram's Magazine. We are going to be talking about noise, restaurant noise in particular, this next half hour. And we talked a little bit over the past few weeks about a new restaurant that has opened in Waldo. Very, very popular. Very congenial. It's called Louis Wine Dive. It's definitely not a dive, and believe me, I know dives. And it's more of a wine bistro. But it is very, very noisy. A, it's small. B, there's not a lot of baffling that kind of reduces the sound level. But I was there one night, and the restaurant, the dining room was so noisy that I felt like I was in a silent movie and trying to read the lips of the people I was dining with, because I could not hear a thing. Some people like that. Some people find it a high energy and exciting vibe for a restaurant. But some people, you know, some people do actually like to talk to each other when they eat. So I want to know where you go or don't go or won't go anymore. And Christine, you have some backup information for us.
Well, I do. And first of all, I think it would be helpful for us to know what we're talking about when we say too loud. Okay? So one definition I found is by a guy named Dr. Gordon Hughes, who's the director of clinical trials for the National Institute on Deafness and Other Communication Disorders. And he says the background noise is too loud if a person's voice has to be raised to be heard by someone 3 feet away.
Oy.
Oy, yeah. That's pretty loud. And then I kind of went to OSHA because I was interested in
OSHA being
the National Standards of Health and Occupational Welfare, and because I do a lot of consulting work with companies who have plants, and you know they're all wearing their protective headgear, and you know if your sound level is at 90 decibels, you can stay in that environment for 8 hours a day with no problem, theoretically. The minute it starts going up, the number of hours that you can be in that noise goes down. So if, for instance, you're at a place with 100 noise level, DBA, 100 noise, you're only supposed to be there for 2 hours without incurring hearing loss. And the other, without it being somehow physically harmful to you. The other thing that's interesting to me is that I read it in a couple of different articles here. We are becoming a culture that is more and more becoming deaf earlier and earlier. We have more even children who are showing less hearing, who have hearing loss at earlier ages than ever before. And the city,
in addition to being obese, they're also deaf.
Deaf and fat. So, but. You know, and New York City is looking into, has been starting to send some inspectors around to various restaurants. I mean, there's a federal level noise level that says you can't be over 90, you can't be over 90 dBA, and so New York is starting to think about enforcing that, which nobody does at restaurants.
So it's not just going to concerts; it's also going to restaurants. But to put that in perspective, the 90 decibels is equivalent to a lawnmower or a 737 taking off.
So Which is pretty darn loud.
I feel like Louise might be up there.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But what is the average restaurant decibel-wise? Do we know?
No.
Okay.
But
I think the average is going up.
I think the average is going up.
But is it close to 30, 40, 50?
Yeah. Oh, no, it's more than that.
But as you suggest, Charles, a lot of people, the restaurateurs, do it on purpose because they want to create a good vibe and have it be a lot of energy. And they are going more casual, which often means no tablecloths. And that's something that used to absorb the sound.
Well,
and there are a lot of hard surfaces.
Hard surfaces. And, you know, one of the things that I read said that the trend of making restaurants look like brasseries or bars to resemble speakeasies has bred sort of all of these hard surfaces, which just amplify sound, ceramic tiles, concrete floors, tin ceilings. And this is – noise level is the number one complaint on Zagat. Or Zaga, however you say it.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
More than bad service?
Yes.
Or, wow,
yes.
Very
noise
interesting.
Has become.
Well, when you
yeah.
think about all the old warehouses being renovated and they're making them very industrial,
right.
and that is
yeah.
conducive to now, hard surfaces.
As a person, I know you all have teased me before for not liking drapes and tablecloths in a restaurant, and it's not really my style. But there are ways to bring down the sound without drapes and tablecloths. And I was in band in high school. I remember acoustic paneling,
right,
and the same
right.
can be done in restaurants. And so if there
and
are
– some clever little baffles on the ceiling.
Exactly. And you know, if there – I'm looking at a Wall Street Journal article. I think Chris has the same one from 2010, and it says, cover at least two perpendicular surfaces with sound-absorbing material. So if you have one on the wall and one on the ceiling, just something to sort of, you know,
absorb.
Mediate and absorb the sound.
Yeah.
I want to say that – we are taking your phone calls. We're starting to get phone calls on this topic at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or your email is at centralstandard@kcur.org.
Or you can send us a tweet at KCURCST.
Let's go to Sue in Lenexa. Sue, are you with us?
Yes. Hello, food critics.
Hi.
Well, we were there at Louis on Saturday night.
This is Louis Wine Dive?
Yes, yes. Louis Wine Dive there at, what is that, Gregory, and there on the corner.
Gregory and
yes, and I want to agree with you all that you're not just stuffy foodies complaining about the sound. It was so loud in there, it was deafening. And it was crowded, though, and it looked really cool and packed. And we went in, and we stood there and saw that we weren't going to be able to sit for a while, so we ended up going next door to the Gaff. But I think one thing that contributes to it, don't they have, like, those big walls with, like, chalkboard where they had all the wines written on those boards? I mean, that just kind of reflected the sound right off there, too. But
well, there's a lot of hard surfaces, yeah.
Yes, yes. So I'm just calling to agree with you, but it's a cool place. I'm looking forward to going and trying the food.
Now, Sue, on the flip side of that equation, where would you go for a nice quiet evening out?
Well, I don't usually like quiet evenings.
When
I go out, I like to go where there's going to be like a fun bar. I like to start at a fun bar and or a place with a bar and kind of see who's out, see and be seen, and then eat usually in the front. Like I'm thinking of maybe the tavern in Prairie Village where you can kind of eat up there in the front. Or I don't mind some noise, and I like, you know, the social part of being out, but this place was just really loud.
It's very loud. Oh, but yes. But fun, too. I mean, that's, you know.
Yes,
and
yes.
I, when I was writing my story about that restaurant, the owner, one of the owners told me that they are trying to work out some kind of plan to baffle the noise a little bit, so we'll see what happens there. Hey, thank you so much, Sue. And let's go to Kevin in Mission. Kevin.
Hi there. I love your shows. I haven't been able to listen for a long time, so it's great to hear y'all.
We're happy to have you back.
Yeah, thanks so much. Quickly and briefly, I think there's three important notes to make about these noise levels in restaurants. First, I don't think you said this already, but there was some famous restaurateur, and he was asked what one ingredient he would have for a successful restaurant, and he said noise level, and ever since then, restaurants and restaurateurs have been taking note of that, and I think our restaurants have increasingly gotten louder and louder and louder.
I think there's some truth to that. Yeah.
Pardon me?
I think there is truth to that.
Yeah, absolutely true. And second, those hard finishes and surfaces and all that kind of stuff fit restaurants perfectly two ways. One, it's less expensive to do. And two, it gives it more of a contemporary look and everything. So it's all the way around a win for the restaurants and the people who have to, you know, pay for them. So I think it's just the shape of things to come. And it's a funny thing, like in that last conversation, you, Charles, and the lady on the phone both said, you know, you hate the noise and all that stuff, but then you followed it by, gosh, but it's fun. And so I think viscerally we must respond positively as a group to this. I mean, I still think that there will be some people that it chases away, but as human beings, there's something about us that just loves that energy and loves that, you know, whatever it is created by that noise. You
well,
know,
I think it's the same kind of theory that it's always more fun to watch a movie in a theater filled with people than it is to watch it at home on TV. Unless
yeah.
you're lazy like me and you always prefer to sit at home and watch it.
There
on TV.
You are. There
so,
you are.
Hey, thank you so much, Kevin. Those
are excellent
points.
One last note? Can
Please
I make
do.
One last note?
Yeah.
I know I read your review of the Louis Dive Bar and all that, Wine Dive and all that stuff, and that's great, and I'm glad it's successful and a great place and all that kind of stuff, but they unequivocally have the ugliest sign on the outside of the building that I can't even believe they put it up. But anyway, that's a different note.
Yeah, that's a new show for us, Ugly Sign Show.
There you go.
Yeah, thank you. We need to do the Ugly Sign Show. 816-235-2888. And let's go to Catherine in St. Joseph, Missouri.
Hello.
Hi, Catherine.
The noise level thing, that's very interesting to me because I was saying we've got all kinds of people around and they're saying, oh, Americans, we're all eating too much and everything like that. But noise level, it contributes to, what do I want to say?
Confusion?
Consumption. confusion, consumption. It doesn't let you really identify with the food that you're eating. We tend to shovel in more quickly and more with a louder noise level.
You know, I never thought of that, but, you know, maybe if the music is too loud or the conversation's too loud, you instinctively eat faster.
Kind of
eat it and beat it.
Let me give you some actual research on that.
All right.
Study that was done in 1985 in Connecticut. When the bar's music was 72, and this isn't eating but drinking, when the bar's music was 72 decibels, people ordered an average of 2.6 drinks and took 14.5 minutes to finish one. But when the music was turned up to 88 decibels, customers ordered an average of 3.4 drinks and took 11.5 minutes to finish them.
Huh. So the restaurants are making more.
Yeah.
For a wine bar, mm-hmm. that's very clever.
Yeah, it's very clever.
If you are willing to stay there long enough to keep drinking and eating.
That's true. And I went and it was two couples and it was...
Was this to Louis?
We went to Louis and it was myself and my husband and my friend and her boyfriend and we had our meal and we left because we wanted to be able to talk to each other.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and some people find quiet restaurants to be extremely disturbing too. So thank you, Catherine. That's good to know, all of that. Let's go to, is it Alan in Kansas City, Missouri?
That's me.
Hey, Alan, what's up?
Great. Love the show. Love the topic. The Payway and Chipotle are two restaurants where the music is so loud you can barely place your order. And that's on the fast food side, you know.
Right.
And then I find P.F. Chang's on the plaza on a busy night impossible to have a conversation. Just, I think, mostly because of all the hard surfaces. It's not really music at the P.F. Chang.
Now, it's interesting you say that about the plaza, because the plaza used to be known as, you know, a place where you could have a quiet and romantic night in a lot of the restaurants. But a friend of mine this morning had Facebook messaged me and said that he had stopped going to Brio on the plaza because that cavernous space was just so noisy.
Seasons 52 is really noisy at night, too.
Really, yeah.
Well, but...
Yeah.
Go to the Raphael.
Yeah.
Chaz is quiet.
Chaz is great.
Hey, that's great. Thank you, Alan. Thank you for that phone call. And let's go to Gary in Kansas City, Missouri.
Hi, thank you very much. I'm glad to help share an idea. I really don't like noisy restaurants. When I'm out of a restaurant, I'm either wanting to do business with somebody and I need to talk, or I'm out with somebody I like and I need to talk. So the only way I'd really want to go to a loud restaurant is if I was forced to eat with somebody I did not like. And since I don't want to pay my money to go out to eat unless I'm with somebody I like, I have no use for loud restaurants. And I wish more restaurant owners would heed that.
Gary, I love your logic. Can I ask you what maybe one or two of your favorite quiet restaurants in Kansas City are?
I'm really at a loss because so many of them are becoming so much louder. I can't even put McCormick and Schmick or some of those restaurants in a quiet category anymore. It's become a challenge to find a quiet restaurant.
I think restaurants with booths are a huge help.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a huge help. So when folks are wanting to eat out at a quieter place, I mean, that's what I tend to look for. Either that or one that the tables aren't crushed altogether, you know.
Right. We might throw out some, if we all have thoughts on this, what some of the more quiet restaurants in Kansas City are. One, of course, would be Chaz on the Plaza at the Raphael Hotel. Affair.
I found Affair to be quiet.
Amazingly, because it's a huge cavernous space.
They did a really good job with the acoustics in there, and the tablecloths help, I'm sure.
Right.
Michael Smith, another one with tablecloths.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Lydia's, which is just a huge box, and it's not that noisy. I think one of the problems with upping the music level is that since everybody then talks louder, you know, it would be like if, you know, what I used to say I wanted to do was stand in the middle of the room, scream, everybody be quiet, and then just everybody start up again.
I wish you would do that.
I wish I would.
I tried to do that at Louis, but nobody heard me. True story.
I think it used to be an age thing. You know, older people said they didn't like noise, but I'm finding young people are opposed to it too. So that makes me feel a little better.
Great. And, you know, and thank you, Gary, for your phone call. I was thinking, you know, we all tend to think of noisy restaurants as newer restaurants. But I remember in the day that one of the noisiest restaurants in the plaza, And it wasn't the music, and it wasn't so much the people talking, but the noisy restaurant was Pooch's Cafeteria because of all that clatter of, you know, plates and all that restaurant clatter, that, well, a cafeteria clatter. Now I sort of miss that, but anyway.
That was quiet compared to today.
Yeah, let's go to Rick in Kansas City, Missouri. Rick.
Hey, great show this morning. Thanks for the opportunity. I wanted to bring in the people that work there.
Yes.
You know, you were talking earlier about, you know, hours of exposure and noise. And it's one thing for those of us that are visiting for 2 or 3 hours one night a week. It's another thing if you're working in a loud place, because you're going to be in that same place, you know, night after night, day after day, not for 2 hours, but for 6 or 7, your whole shift. And that repeated exposure really, you know, it really, when one of your guests said earlier about we're becoming a deaf nation, and you don't know it until it's happening to you. But, I mean, in general, for me, I'm someone, I've spent a lot of time in loud clubs, and I'm aging into the old fogey era, but I still go to loud clubs. I just don't go all the time. But for me, a restaurant that is too loud, I will leave. And I don't get mad. I encourage people, if not to just get up and leave or decide, well, we're never going back there, but go speak to the management, and you can do it in a way that's just, you know, we like your restaurant, you've got great food, whatever it is you want to say, but it's just too loud. And if you can't hold a conversation at your table, what's the point?
Right. Did you want to weigh in, Emily?
Yeah, well, there are certain restaurants, though, that I think you just have to take into consideration the atmosphere. And I know it's been said on this show many times and other places that Port Fonda is a very loud restaurant. And that doesn't surprise me, and it doesn't turn me off, because I ate in the Port Fonda trailer last summer, and that was sort of the theme. He was Patrick Ryan, the chef, was playing this loud 90s hip-hop music, and it was a party. And I think he's definitely sort of transitioned that into this larger space. And yes, I know that he was working on adding some acoustic panels and didn't help with the sound some, but that is the atmosphere that he's trying to create. And I think there are some restaurants where it's inappropriate for it to be loud, and there are other restaurants where it is appropriate for it to be loud.
Interestingly enough, on that note, and one of my meals at Port Fonda, when I was reviewing the restaurants, I took an 84-year-old friend of mine who is, well, hearing impaired, quite seriously, actually. And we actually could have a conversation at Port Fonda. We were seated at a table that it wasn't ridiculous. We could actually have a conversation.
What time of the evening was it?
She could read lips.
Maybe she could. I don't.
I mean, that's one of the suggestions.
But sort of on the subject with Rick and going to clubs, this lady friend of mine who I think may be listening, she likes to tell people when she says, "Well, you know how I lost my hearing, don't you? All those nights at Studio 54," which I love.
Well, but to the caller's point, if you know, it's one thing to go eat at Port Fonda, but if you're working there night after night, that is a problem.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hey, thank you, Rick. That's an excellent point. Let's go to David in Independence. David.
Yes, Rendezvous is way too noisy, but when my wife and I or a client need to go out and talk, we go to Ophelia's. It's got the table linens. It's a nice, quiet atmosphere.
Ophelia's is sort of upscale. Now, what was the first restaurant you mentioned?
Rendezvous on 470 there.
I've never been to that. Okay.
It's got decent food, but it's way too, you know, the atmosphere is just way too brassy. You know, it's just way too loud.
Okay.
And I think a lot of the noise is people, you know, if you've got a softer climate, you listen, tone it down. You know, if you're at a jazz bar, a lot of times it's a quieter environment to hear the music than it is, you know, if you're trying to shout over something else, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you, David. Those are excellent points. Let's go to Roger in Overland Park. Roger.
Hi.
Tell us where to go.
I don't think anybody's mentioned Eden Alley on the plaza. It's not so much the acoustics of the room, but the tables are so spread out.
Right. Yep. It's in the basement of the Unity Temple.
It is in the basement of the Unity Temple, and I would venture to guess that no restaurant could afford that kind of square footage unless they were in the basement of a church.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's true. A big restaurant.
for the number of tables they've got. And it's a very, very easy place to have a quiet and a very nice, long, relaxed meal.
Excellent. Thank you, Roger. We've got a couple of emails here who have sent us emails at centralstandard@kcr.org. One of our listeners wrote, "I love Noisy. I miss the DJs at Port Fonda." Okay. I don't know what happened to those DJs. Carrie emails us, "Cafe Europa maintains a very decent low noise level without sacrificing atmosphere, in addition to having wonderful food and service." That's a very nice, quiet, even, I would say, genteel restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You feel good there.
Yeah. Let's go to Jim in Kansas City, Missouri. Jim, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
What do you want to tell us?
Oh, I was going to comment on, you were asking for nice, quiet places. I don't know if it was mentioned yet, but Californo's across from Port Fonda.
That's an excellent choice, yeah.
That's a really nice place. The service is fantastic, great bar, and you can also have a nice, quiet dinner and a lot of space. And they've been around for quite some time. And then something in the middle, obviously Garozzo's, a little noisy, a little packed, a little bit of activity, but not too loud. And then to go on the far end of the spectrum, I can drink at the Foundry, but I can't eat at the Foundry. There's just too much stuff going on around me.
Right.
Jim, I agree with the Assembly, and I agree with you on the Foundry. The last time I went to Californo's, I was placed within about 3 feet of someone playing a piano and singing into a microphone. And I love live music at a restaurant, but it was a Sunday night, I think, and I was going for dinner, and it was so loud, and I felt rude, kind of, you know, inching away from the piano player. And I think, and that's sort of a narrow restaurant, but in a space like that, separating the live
music. So did you ask to move?
No. Because I didn't want to. We were like one of three tables in there, and I didn't want to offend the piano player.
Just tip it.
No, that's that's nice. But they've got that whole lower level and stuff like that. Yeah. So they would. I'm sure they'd reseat you. But great show, guys. Great topic. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Let's go to Martha in Kansas City, Kansas. Martha.
Yes. I'm enjoying this show very much, and I'd like to say that I think the Grand Street Cafe is a great place. The noise level is low, and you can hear the person across the table from you. It's an upscale restaurant, in my opinion, and good food, and I enjoy going there. As we get older, we need restaurants or places that the noise level is more subdued, because the background noise makes it very difficult to hear.
All right.
I was in McCormick Schmick's the other night, and the noise level was pretty darn high.
One nice thing about Grand Street, I think, at least at the bar, is the bar tables are so narrow. You know, and you're sitting across, and four people can actually all talk to each other across. And I love that idea of those narrow tables. I can't say at one time a group of us ordered every single appetizer, and the table got a little small that night. But nonetheless, you know, you could really hear each other, which I really like there.
Hey, Martha, thank you for that phone call. And let's go to Molly in Prairie Village. Molly.
Hello.
Hello. Where have you been that's too loud and too quiet?
Too loud, Tassos.
Oh, yeah, but that's their vibe, though. They're supposed to be that way.
You know, it's part of the vibe, but you can't carry on a conversation at all. We were there over Thanksgiving weekend with a large group, and yes, I know it's part of their vibe, but it was really almost just miserable.
Well, I think people go there for, and this is for that sort of over-the-top party atmosphere.
Not to have a conversation.
Not to have a conversation. Maybe, you know, it never occurred to me that maybe there are certain restaurants that we need to have, you know, when you're going out with people, as one of our previous callers said, with people you don't really care about.
You don't want to talk to.
You don't want to talk to them anyway, so.
Same reason you go to one of those Japanese showy restaurants, you know, the thing. You don't have to talk. You got something to
watch.
With
the teppanyaki grill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except once you've seen that show too often, you just can't do it anymore. what are some of your suggestions for quieter places?
You know, my suggestion for quieter was just like Martha's, Grand Street on the Plaza. We've had a lot. I think it's a well-kept secret, and it probably won't be now because two people have suggested it. But you can often get in there when you can't get in other places. They're on open table, and it is just a great bet for a quieter evening, but still a good vibe.
Very good. I think that's a good choice.
That's choices. A good idea.
We've got, let's see, Denny on Facebook writes, and I think he's referring to Cafe Trio. Cafe Trio is a quiet place, usually upstairs. I've never eaten upstairs there. Pete adds on Facebook, Kansas City banned smoking to protect the employees in restaurants. Maybe the city should start seriously looking at the dangerous noise levels and protect the employees likewise. That's a excellent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like New York City is doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? We're at the top of the hour.
It went fast.
It did go fast. It did. Okay. Maybe a parting words. If you wanted to go to a quiet place, Emily, where would you go tonight?
Oh, you know, I really like going to Thai Place. Even when it's packed, I can have a conversation. Yeah. Thai Place in Westport.
It works. Mary?
I was thinking that, too. The other place is Pizza Bella. It's at 1810 Baltimore, and even when it's crowded, you can talk.
All right. I want to say
JJ's.
JJ's.
Ooh, yeah.
Our show was produced today by Matthew Long Middleton. Our announcer is Kim Noble. And thanks to my fellow food critics today, Emily Ferris, Mary Block, and Christine Basica, and to everybody who called in. Remember, you can find a list of all of the restaurants we mentioned today at kcor.org, Central Standard Friday. Up to Date is next with the art critic reviews of this year's best independent and foreign films. I'm Charles Ferruzza. This is Central Standard Friday. Enjoy your day.